أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. First of all, I want to thank the organizer of this conference. I think it is a fantastic conference. I learned so much, and specifically right now, it was a wonderful topic, and I am delighted to be here. Thank you for inviting me here. What I would like to talk today is something that I have to give you a little background about what I am doing and what is the purpose of me coming here and sharing the information that I have with you. First of all, I come from Afghanistan. All of you know a little bit about Afghanistan and you know about the situation in Afghanistan. So I don't have to tell you that much about the present situation in Afghanistan because all of you hear in the news. But I would like to share with you a little bit background about Afghanistan. Afghanistan, when I was growing in Afghanistan, a lot of people are asking me right now, why do you do the work that you do right now? I want to just tell you a little bit about that. The Afghanistan that I was growing up, it was a beautiful country, and it has beautiful people, and I had a wonderful memory of Afghanistan. But the Afghanistan that is today is not the same Afghanistan, because as a result of the war, for 35 years, my country is being devastated completely. The society has been just robbed from everything, from education, from tradition, from culture, from learning, everything else. They have been robbed by 35 years. And you hear that a lot of times that the people of Afghanistan, they do not want to learn. They don't want their girls to go to school. They are very harsh on women. That's really true. But what is the reason behind that? First of all, that is a religion that is really influence our culture and tradition, that the people who want to be in power, they are using the religion. If you really look at the behind the religion of Islam, Islam is a peaceful religion. So the people who are using right now the religion, they are not really using Islam. They are using Islam as their defense to get the advantage to say, okay, girls should stay in the home and they should not go to school and they should not learn. But at the same time, there are a situation that when Russian invaded Afghanistan, a lot of things happened prior to the Russian invasion in Afghanistan. People were learning. They were going to school. They were doctor. They were lawyer. A lot of people really were getting into education, especially women. But when Russian invaded Afghanistan, it's created a problem for Afghan people because they bringing something that it wasn't Afghan, it wasn't from Islamic tradition. It was something that is tried to convert people from Islam. As a result, a lot of people become very fanatic. They said, we don't want this education. So this started. People start turning against education because Russian invaded Afghanistan. And while that happened, the tradition people did not want their daughter to go to school. When my father, when I was growing up, he was an Afghan man. He sent me to school. He wanted me to learn. As a matter of fact, he was encouraging me. He was my role model. He was encouraging me to learn. So there is a difference that at that time, people were trying to influence their children to go to school, especially girls. But when Russia invaded Afghanistan, everybody said no for education. And when I went to the refugee camp first, when I started my work, I went to the refugee camp and tried to do a survey. Why people do not want education? Why girls are not in school, especially in the refugee camp? And when I communicated with the woman, I heard so many stories. It was devastating. I was crying every day going to the camp from camp to camp and talking to this woman and talking to the young woman, to the young girl, because they were stopped going to school. They were not learning. But also the women of Afghanistan were sitting in the camp not being able to answer any question. They were so submissive, so quiet, because they could not defend themselves. And so I said, what can I do that I can help this woman? How can I participate in this program that is really encourage their morale to boost it up? And you know, the more I thought about it, the more I said that education is the key issue. If really we bring education in this community, we will be able to transform this life. We will be able to change these people. And that happened. So it wasn't an easy task. It's very tough. When I went to villages, when I went to camp to camp and tried to convince this elder of the community to say, okay, we want to have education for girls, everybody said, no, girls should not go to school. Well, you know, working with the mullah, working with the religious leader, I try to convince them that they can be a teacher. I train them to be a teacher, and they can teach, not me, they will teach. And they thought I am crazy, and they said, what is that? I am not a teacher. So in Pakistan, in the camp, I convinced several mullah to become a teacher. Every day I went to their camp, and I trained them as a teacher how to teach the students. And that started. Once a mullah started a class in his compound, and 1 month there was about 1 tenth in his compound. In a matter of year, 7 tenths, 300 students were in his class, in his compound, and they were learning how to read and write. You will see, this is maybe something with you all being highly educated and talking about higher education, maybe that doesn't seem that much to you, but for me, that was unbelievable. I was so happy about this that I came and I start writing a manual for teacher training. Because I knew that if a teacher is a good teacher, the students will sit in the class, they will stay in the class. But if a teacher is not a good teacher, is not teaching right, is not communicating with the students, is not encouraging the students for question and answer, not teaching them critical thinking, the students will not sit in the class. Why? Because the students were traumatized. They were already devastated. So if the teacher come and just lecture, they were not going to stay. And also, if the teacher doesn't have a resource. In Afghanistan, we don't have resource, but in the refugee camp, there was none resource at all. We didn't have books, we didn't have classroom, we didn't have chair, we didn't have anything. So from that kind of environment, it has a lot to do that when you are in an environment, you learn in an environment that provides for you some resource. So we must have to think something that the teacher can make material from the environment that they were in, from a stone, from stick, from paper, from all kinds of things. We try to make a material that the teacher can go with the lesson plan in the classroom, to have a lesson plan, have an objective, and also have a relationship with the parents. And that manual was done with our people. We wrote 7 manuals. In this manual, in different subjects. And once we did that, we start teacher training. And the core of our program is teacher training. We train the teacher in pedagogy and new methodology that it is really student-centered technique. And once we did that, it was amazing because the students in Afghanistan will go to school for 4 years, will not be able to read and write. But in this new methodology, in a matter of 3 months, students can read and write. And that was, for parents, was a miracle. They decided that they are going to send their school. In a matter of 3 years in Pakistan, from 300 students, we reached to 15,000 students, all girls in school. At that time, the donor will not allow us to have boys in class. They wanted to fund the girls program, which was wonderful. And so as a result, we have all girls school. We had from preschool to secondary and high school. We developed this program. And you know, that time was the time that then the Taliban invaded Afghanistan in 1995. And then the news come from inside Afghanistan that the school door is completely closed for children, for boys and girls, and nobody can go to school, and nobody are allowed to read a book. A woman cannot get out of their house because she has to accompany somebody else. That was the toughest situation in Afghanistan. So people come. People come and ask from EIL to try to develop a program inside Afghanistan. You might ask a question, why EIL, not other organization? Well, the reason is because people trusted EIL. People trusted that when we provide education for their children in the refugee camp, we provided the education that they wanted. It was very sensitive toward culture. We have teachers from our own community, from the campground. We trained those teachers, and we respected the culture and the tradition. And so as a result, people really listened to us. We said, we want this for you, and they want it for them. So we worked together. It was a community effort. It wasn't just a oil going imposing program. And this message went to inside Afghanistan, and the people pouring into Pakistan and asking me to provide program for them, because thousands and thousands of children were not able to read and write. So we went to Afghanistan. We, in one condition, we said, if the community help us, if they protect us, and that happened. The community protected us, They really design their school, which community will give their school, who is going to be the teacher, and how they are going to protect. Once this was set up, so we were able to work with them. And we had 80 schools inside Afghanistan during the Taliban, underground. And they are all girls' schools. And today, to give you the new, the good news is those are the girls that right now are going to university. They are the one who passing the entrance exam going to the university. They are the one who are going to be a doctor and engineer in Afghanistan. As you know, Afghanistan doesn't have a human resource right now. We are lacking. For 30 years, we are behind education. So that's the way we work. It's possible to work in a society that they are against women's education. But if you work according to their culture and to their tradition. And also, be very sensitive that the program is not yours. You are not implementing your program. You ask them, what do you want? And they will tell you exactly what they want. Right now in Afghanistan, millions of children are going to school. Millions and millions. 5 million children are in school. But one sad thing that I tell you is that the quality of learning is not there. The number of schools is there. We have schools, a number, but we don't have a quality education because the teacher is absent, the teacher is not there. There is not a curriculum that the students can learn. The teacher is not trained to be able to reach out for the students. As a result, so the educational system is a chaos right now inside Afghanistan. But there are NGOs who are providing education, they are providing training. Those programs are very successful, and the people, the society, they see the difference, and they are sending their children to a private school or to this NGO. For example, AIL right now setting up Women Learning Center. Why we put Women Learning Center? Because the school belongs to the government should provide the educational system, but they are not capable. But what we do, we go to the area that there is no school. We open a women learning center. And this women learning center, I was so glad that you talk about the providing books for the children. We have education program and also we have health program. In every clinic, we do have this program that we provide material for the children to read while they are waiting in the patient in the waiting room. But what we did, we opened a women learning center, and this women learning center is a hub. Like, in different ages, from 3 months baby to 60 years old, women or men can go and learn. Because for so long, the educational system was completely cut from the people that we have students who are like 15 years old, not able to read and write because never went to school. We have students who are 21 years old, well, not able to read and write. So we have to design program for their level, that how fast they can go forward, and we call that fast track program. And the fast track program, we design material according to their learning process, how fast they learn. We give the material to them and then give them a test, and they pass the test and they go. And as a result, thousands and thousands of children are coming to the center. They are learning, but then poverty is there. Somebody was talking about that the teacher doesn't have enough salary and that is going through poverty and that's creating problem. But also, society in Afghanistan are very poor. They are pulling their children to send them to go to work because nobody has a job, and the children supposed to provide income. So what we do in the center, we provide income generation. They can go to a class, learn how to sew tailoring or embroidery or do carpet weaving. While they are doing that, then they can go to the next class, learn how to read and write. But at the same time, we provide for them some kind of incentive that they learn, they earn some income. As a result, then again, family not only they send their daughter to come to school, the mother comes to school to learn. And the mother and the daughter sometimes sit together and they learn the same program because they see that it's benefit for the family, that it brings the income. And also, when the students learn how to read and write and they go from one class to the next, also, they learn English and they learn computer. Right now, EIL is providing for 350,000 women and children annually a service that we have like about 480 people, personnel, They are all working in area of education and health. And our students are excellent students, and they are learning very, very fast. We could not accommodate them because we don't have enough center and enough classroom for them because they are waiting on the waiting line. So once the opportunity is there, the people also want their children to learn. Every Afghan is like every other individual. They love their children. They want their children to learn. It's not that their children, but the security is the biggest issue in Afghanistan. If the security is taken care, I think that every single Afghan will send their daughter and their son to school because they are anxious to learn. But when their daughter and son go to school and somebody kidnap the child for the from the road going to school or from their daughter going to work, so they are going to hesitate to send their children to school. And that's happening. From 2002 to 2006, it was the students were pouring into the classroom. And we were not able to really accommodate all of those. But now from 2006 to right now 2009, things is just deteriorating. A little by little, the children are being captured back again because of security issue, not because they don't want to go to school, not because they don't want to learn, because of security issue. But I want to tell you that these are the challenges that Afghan people are facing. But at the same time, there is another part of Afghanistan that women right now participating in a political arena. You know, right now, NGO is working in different sector of the civil society. People are really become a lawyer, engineer, especially women. They go to the parliament. They are become the shura, the jirga, and they are really learning about the human rights. Also, one of our colleagues says that education is a human right. And that is human rights in Afghanistan and everywhere, but especially in Afghanistan. Because if you provide human rights, which is education, you will have a society that it would be completely successful. But when you take away education, the society is really going to demolish because it's going to be a stop. I think that she is giving me a signal, yes, to I stay quiet. But anyway, I really appreciate what I learned here, but I want to you people understand that the society in Afghanistan is right now is growing and is growing rapidly in knowledge. Because we are giving human rights workshop, we are giving democracy workshop, we are giving a management workshop, capacity building, and we are working side by side with the government. Although we are not happy with the government, but we have no choice because we want the government to take over, because impossible for an NGO to take over of that task. We know we have to work side by side with the government, but unfortunately right now the situation is a little tough for us. But the people of Afghanistan are anxiously learning. So it's a positive issue also. Once the security is being taken care, I think Afghanistan will be okay. I know Canada is helping Afghanistan a lot with different kind of funding. And all of you are anxious that how your tax money go to Afghanistan and it's going to all be lost. Is not lost. The society, the civil society is doing wonderful. But the government is doing wrong, but that I think will be taken care of. And if you have any question, please do not hesitate to ask me. I don't want to take your time. I don't like to lecture, so I prefer to answer question. Thank you very much. Yes. Thank you.